Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series teaching through a brand new book that I have entitled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. And this is a brand new book. What it is a combination of 16 of my books. I just devote one chapter to what I've written an entire book about on 16 different subjects. And, you know, I've also mentioned this briefly, but we have a study guide that goes along with this. Inside, there is actually a CD-ROM that you can print out all of the questions. This is designed to help disciple other people, either in Sunday school or Bible study situations. And I really believe that this whole teaching on sharper than a two-edged sword is going to be a very, very good book for you sharing and discipling other people. Because sometimes you can get bogged down in all of the details, going into all of the explanation on the topic. This just devotes one chapter or one lesson to an entire subject, such as today we're going to talk about a better way to pray. And I'm going to try and cover this. I might spend maybe 2 days of our television program on it. But when I teach this on a normal basis, I'll spend as much as 5 or 6 weeks teaching through this. Well, in a similar way, this just goes through the highlights. It gives a brief summary, and it's a great way to introduce people to 16 of the most important teachings that God has given me to share with other people. And I think that this is really going to be good. You know, if I wasn't ministering the way that I was, if I was working a job somewhere or doing something, yet I was ministering to people and trying to touch people, I would start a Bible study, I would invite people over, and this is going to be excellent because it just gives a brief summary of these things. You could touch all 16 topics, and then you could come back and say, which ones do we want to study? You could get the book and the study guide that goes with that individual teaching and go into more depth. And I just think that this is really going to be a good tool for you. If you remember, not too many months ago, I taught on being a disciple and making disciples, that's what God called us to do, not make converts. And I believe that this is one of the really missing elements in the body of Christ. We've got so many people that have had some type of an experience with the Lord, but they just don't have the depth and the maturity that they need to succeed themselves and to reproduce their faith in other people. So we need to be discipling people, and this is one of the best discipling tools that I think I have out there. So I'm really excited about this. Today, I want to talk about lesson number, I think this is number 10. It's the 10th chapter in this book, and it's talking about a better way to pray. Now, again, I have an entire teaching on this. It goes into a lot of detail. I want to emphasize that I am not saying that this is the only way to pray or you're of the devil if you don't pray this way. Because everything I counter in this teaching about a better way to pray, I have done. I mean, these aren't things that I've just heard about other people doing. I have prayed all of these wrong ways that I'll be countering in this teaching, and yet I loved God, and God loved me. And, you know, I believe that God is big enough that He can interpret. He knows what my heart was, even though I was praying wrong. He loved me in spite of it, but I guarantee you there have been some bad things happen in my life and in the lives of other people because you can actually pray in a way that Satan is the one that answers that prayer. Words are important. And if you're praying and saying, oh, God, just break me, and oh, God, give me cancer, and oh, God, do whatever it takes to bring me to the end of myself, God did not tell us to pray that way. God is not the one who's putting trials in our life, but there's people that have been taught that that's a godly way to pray, and Satan will actually take advantage of that. You've just thrown the door open to the devil to come shoot his best shot. You've dropped your resistance. And the Bible says in James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And if you don't resist the devil, actively fight against him, then he will come in and eat your lunch and pop the bag. You do not need to be praying that way. And yet I prayed that way at one time, and I had some terrible things happen in my life and in the lives of other people that I was associated with. I've learned a better way to pray. So I didn't name this, you're of the devil if you don't pray this way. God hates you if you don't pray this way. I named it a better way to pray. And I have learned a few things, and I'm getting better results now than I have ever had in my life. And praise God, I think that there is a better way to pray than the way that most religious people pray today. So that's what this is all about. You know, Jesus was teaching on prayer in Matthew chapter 6. And here's some of the things that he said. And again, I'm only going to spend a couple of days maybe on talking about prayer. And there is just a lot to say. But I want you to notice this, that when Jesus started teaching on prayer, look what he said right here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. In other words, that little pat on the back, the look that people get when they look at you and think, oh, you're so awesome and you're so holy, because they were standing on the street corners. Other scriptures talk about that they would actually blow a trumpet before them and let everybody know that they were going to pray. And they were doing all of this to draw attention unto themselves. They weren't truly communicating with God. And so the Lord here is saying that they have their reward. That little pat on the back, the way that people look at them with admiration and think, oh, aren't you a holy person? That's all you get. You don't get anything from God. You don't have any godly results. And he says, they have their reward. And then in verse 6 it says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Now, before we go any further, let me just point this out. When Jesus started teaching on prayer, the very first thing he did was counter the way that people were praying. He came against the religious concepts and ideas. It's like if you're going to build a house or something, if there's things in the way, if there's rocks and all of this stuff, you have to clear that area and put down a good foundation. And if there was already a foundation or a house there, you have to tear all of that out and get down to the bare rock or to a good foundation. You have to tear all of this stuff out. And so Jesus, as he began to start teaching on prayer, the first thing he did was counter all of the ungodly things that were being done in the name of prayer. And I believe that that really is the way that you have to approach teaching on prayer, because in my estimation, prayer is probably one of the most religious, ungodly parts of the Christian life. And I know that I'm just shocking people all around the world. I think, what are you saying? There's no bad way to pray. Certainly there's a bad way to pray. That's what Jesus is talking about right here. There are right and wrong ways to pray. If you pray wrong, you're going to get wrong results. And as I've already said, you could actually release the power of the devil through the way that you pray. You know, I've gone into this before. I'm not going to give you the whole story. But I actually was raised in a denomination that taught that God sovereignly controlled everything. I went to a conference where a man had a teaching called Satan is God's Messenger Boy. And he taught about that if the devil is doing anything to you, it's actually God. God has the devil on a leash like a mean dog. And he couldn't get to you if God didn't give him that length of leash. And so ultimately God is one that controls everything. Even if the devil is doing it, God is the one that sicked the devil on you. And he was trying to say that it was for some redemptive purpose. Now, none of that is true. But that's what I was taught. And this man who used this message called Satan is God's Messenger Boy actually gave an example of a boy who is not very bold in his Christian faith. And yet he wanted to reach his classmates, especially the people on his football team. And so this boy, because he had this wrong doctrine about that everything comes from God, which isn't true, he prayed and said, God, give me a cancer. And as I die, I'll show my classmates that I'm not afraid of death, that I have faith in you, and maybe you can use me handling this incurable disease as something to glorify you. The next day, he came down with leukemia. And throughout the process of going through treatments and all of this stuff, he maintained his joy. He was a witness to his football buddies. And at his funeral, there were four of his football buddies who were born again. And this guy gave that story, told that example. I got those tapes. This is back before there was even cassette tapes. This was back in the mid-60s, and we didn't have cassette tapes yet. And I had to get it on reel-to-reel tapes, brought them home, gave them to a friend of mine, a girl who I was kind of unofficially engaged to. They actually gave me an emergency leave from Vietnam to come home and be with her when she died. But I gave this teaching to her, and she took this. She prayed that exact same prayer and said, God, give me a cancer so that I could glorify you. The next day, she had leukemia. And she wound up dying of it. I got an emergency leave to come home and be with her. And this girl died because of wrong praying, because of wrong theology in the way she prayed. I know that this shocks a lot of people, and there's a lot, I just can't believe those kind of things happen. I believe that this happens a lot. I believe that the stupid way that we pray actually gives Satan an inroad into our life. And I was a part of that, not intentionally. But I was just passing on the things that I had heard. And you know what? There's people, I believe, that have died because of wrong praying, wrong theology. If you're praying the wrong thing, you could be doing more damage than you are help. One of the very first things I tell women when they come to it seems like most women pray for their husbands, not the other way around. But anyway, I've had a lot of women come to me and they've said things like, man, I've been praying for my husband for 20 years and he's the most ornery, ungodly person. He beats me, he beats the kids, he spends our money, and they just blast him. And they say, would you please pray, or what do I need to do to get him saved? One of the first things I'll tell people like that is say, quit praying for your husband. People think, well, that's terrible. Man, you ought to be praying for their salvation. But the way they're praying is actually making things worse instead of better, because I've heard a lot of these people pray, and what they will do is spend 30 minutes talking about how mean they are, how ungodly, and they've done this to me, and I'm mad at them, and they just vent, and they let go all of this anger and all of this hurt. It's really not prayer. It's griping. It's complaining. And they speak forth doubt and unbelief for 30 minutes, and then they end it with, save them in Jesus' name. They spend 5 seconds of faith and 40 minutes worth of unbelief, and then they wonder why they're depressed and discouraged and why they aren't seeing any result. That is not the right way to pray. There is a right and a wrong way to pray. There is a better way to pray. So before I can teach about what the better way is and the right way to pray, the first thing you got to do is realize that just because you are praying, because you close your eyes and say, Father, and end it within the name of Jesus, amen, that does not make it a godly prayer. What comes in between all of that is vitally important, and there is right and wrong ways to pray. There is a better way to pray than what most people are praying. And I know that there are people watching this program that I am just shocking you. It's like I'm pulling the rug out from under you. It's like I've destroyed your foundation. And I'm saying yes, because before we can build and plant the right things, you've got to get rid of this notion that just because you close your eyes and say, Father, and end with, in the name of Jesus, amen, that does not mean that you are praying a godly prayer. You could actually be loosing the power of the devil in your life. You could be doing more damage than good. Jesus was saying these same things. He said right here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, he says, when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray. Here is a startling statement that just is going to shock some of you. But hypocrites love to pray. Hypocrites love to pray. And I know that there are many of you watching this program that think, oh, but if a person prays, if they pray, that's got to be good. No, hypocrites love to pray. Now, godly people love to pray too, but that does not undo the fact that Jesus himself said hypocrites love to pray. Did you know that there are some religions in this world that pray five times a day and they have these hours of prayer and they will stop anything and they pray right then? But it is a ritual. It is not true communication with the living God. They aren't even praying to the true God, because the true God sent his Son, and Jesus said, no man comes unto the Father but by me. And they are not going through Jesus, so therefore they are not contacting the true and the living God. They are in contact with, at the very least, a demonic power. It is not the true and living God. And to prove it, they will get up and have a jihad and kill people in the name of the Lord and think that they're doing God's service. And that is not godly at all. And they treat their women terrible. They can kill their wives. They can kill their girls, their children, if they just don't like the way that they're doing things. Nothing about that is godly. And yet they pray five times a day. That's not good. Just because you pray does not make you a holy person. Just because you pray does not make you better. If you're praying the wrong thing, and if you're just going through a ritual, and if you're doing it with the wrong attitude, it can cause a lot of problems. There is a right way to pray and a wrong way to pray. There's a better way to pray than just prayer. And yet, it's amazing. There are many people. There's a vast segment of people today that just think, oh, if you're praying, that's good. There's people that will actually tell you, it really doesn't matter what God you're praying to, just as long as you have some faith, as long as you are being spiritual in any way, is fine. That's not true. There's more than the Holy Spirit out there. There are demonic spirits. There is a satanic spirit. And I guarantee you, many people are actually being manipulated and controlled by the devil in what they call prayer. If you sit in the lotus position with your legs folded and going om, you are not contacting God. And this may offend you, and you may be upset, but I'm telling you the truth. I'm saying that there's a right and a wrong way to pray. Here's Jesus, the greatest figure that ever came on this earth. Even people that don't subscribe to the Christian religion will sit there and say that Jesus is the greatest example of love, turning the other cheek, and all of these things. And here's this greatest figure that has ever walked on the face of the earth, the one who has occupied the attention of more people than any other person who has ever walked on the earth. Here we are 2,000 years after his advent, and he's still the central figure of the human race. And here's this man talking about hypocrites love to pray. Don't be like them. Don't act this way. And he starts countering all of the false things and attitudes about prayer. I know that my whole approach towards this is offensive to some people, but I am taking the exact same approach that Jesus took. And it, I believe, was just as offensive to the people of his day as what I'm saying is here. I mean, the people of his day, they had prayer. The whole culture shut down at the hour of prayer. You can read about this in the third chapter of the book of Acts, that Peter and John went up to pray in the temple at the hour of prayer. They had a specific time during the day, during the center of the day, where they just devoted an hour to prayer. And then on top of that, the scribes and the Pharisees would have people that they actually paid that would come along, and they would blow a trumpet, and then the Pharisees would stand there and pray in a loud voice, and people were praying, and it was a totally religious culture, and it was just woven into the fabric of it. And people, I'm sure, were thinking, oh man, what a godly culture we have. And Jesus came out and when he started talking about prayer, he says, don't be like the Pharisees and the scribes, because they're hypocrites. They love to pray, but their prayers are not producing any good thing. He says, don't be like one of them. He says prayer is a private thing between you and God, and it's not meant to be a public spectacle where you get all of this selfish recognition and all of these kind of things. You can read in the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew that Jesus just ripped the scribes and the Pharisees. Did you know Jesus never rebuked a publican who was a thief and a traitor? He never rebuked the prostitutes. He never rebuked the people that we consider sinners. He instead identified with them and showed mercy, not approval of their sin, but mercy towards them in the midst of their sin. And he never rebuked those people. You know, the only people that he really rebuked were the scribes and the Pharisees, the hypocrites who prayed every single day, who paid tithes of mint and anise and cumin. By our religious standards of the day, they would have been the holiest people. Those are the ones that Jesus rebuked. And I'm telling you that in religion today, prayer is something that people use for selfish motivations. You know, I've heard so many people in the church that I grew up in, they would talk normal like me. I grew up in Texas, and they all talked with the Texan accent, and they were kind of rednecks, and they talked Texan. But you'd call on them to pray, and all of a sudden they'd change into King James English, our most gracious heavenly Father. And then they would start praying, thouest, wouldest, and they would do all of this stuff. You know what that is? That's religious. Now, if that's the way you normally talk, that's fine. But I'm saying nobody talks that way. But when it comes time to pray, all of a sudden we have to pray in this King James English and change our whole tone and go to speaking in a way that is not us. And you know what that is? That's hypocritical. It's religious. If what I've said rubbed you the wrong way, the right way to respond to this is to repent, to turn around. Amen. It's like when you pet a cat against the grain and all of their hair stands up. What you do, you just turn the cat around and keep petting and all of the hair will lay down. If what I've said rubbed you the wrong way, the proper response is to repent and recognize that there is a lot of religious, hypocritical things in what we call prayer today. And often it's of no benefit. Sometimes it actually is releasing the demonic powers by the things that we say. And we need to reevaluate and come up with a better way to pray, a scriptural way to pray. Boy, that is powerful. And I know that there are many of you watching this program that it's just like God has put His finger on an area of your life that you have never even thought about. You just assumed if you were praying, it had to be good. But today, you've had God shine a light and let you recognize that you may be doing more damage by the way that you're praying than you are good. And I believe that God is speaking to many of you and desiring that you change in this area. I encourage you to get these materials, but also, you know, you need to call. And when you call that number that you see on your screen, our prayer ministers can supply you with the materials, but also they could pray with you and pray a godly prayer. If you say, man, I just feel like maybe I've been doing more damage than good, would you pray for this and ask them? Listen to their prayer. Listen to the way that they pray according to the Word of God, and then you begin to pray that way, and I believe you'll get different results. So listen to our announcer as he gives you this information. And then please call or write today.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's newest book, titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword, is available for a gift of any amount. This book is unlike any other Andrew has ever written. Rather than one topic, it contains 16 of Andrew's most powerful teachings. Each is condensed into a single chapter, making this the most comprehensive collection of life-changing messages we've ever offered. Contact us today to get your copy. Or, if you prefer, you can order Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword on DVD as seen on TV. This series has over 7 hours of life-changing teaching. The entire DVD series is available for a gift of any amount. There's also a new Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword workbook available for a gift of $35 or more. The workbook works well in conjunction with the DVD series, offering the opportunity for deeper study of the biblical principles Andrew presents in his teaching. Or you can get all three of these products by ordering the Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword package. This package includes the brand new book, the As Seen on TV DVD series, and the workbook. The entire package has a catalog value of $79. But today, you can get the Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword package for a gift of just $69 or more. A single DVD containing the third week's broadcast of this series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third DVD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the Washington, D.C. area for a Gospel Truth seminar this week, April 14th through the 16th. In Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, April 27th through the 29th, and in Atlanta, Georgia, for a Gospel Truth seminar, May 5th through the 7th. He'll also be at the Solid Rock Church of Atlanta, Sunday, May 8th, in the U.K. for the Grace and Faith Family Camp, May 27th through the 30th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 4th through the 8th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I have never had such good teaching, and I have been to Bible schools, Bible colleges. I graduated from a Christian high school. Nobody teaches like these here. You know why? Because they teach you to know Jesus.
Charis Bible College has been making disciples and changing lives since 1994, and we've outgrown our Colorado Springs facility. Phase one of our new Woodland Park CBC campus has been fully funded and completed, and phase two of the project is gearing up right now. Andrew and Jamie would like to give you the opportunity to join hands with them by becoming a foundation builder and contributing financially toward building the lives of CBC world changers. You can get more information by calling, writing, or logging on to awmi.net/partnership. Invest yourself in Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College today. Change your life. Change the world.